Chapter 15, The Broken Spider.
Centels, our security forces have been compromised. We are under attack.
The guards have turned? How many?
I've put down 4 so far. We need to declare a sector-wide lockdown until we get this sorted.
You should be hearing the sirens any second. What about the code red?
He's being evacuated to Saikana City.
I'll intercept.
You do that and watch your back.
There was nothing remotely safe about what I was trying to do. My mind had imprisoned a clue, and we needed the right person to see it before the spell either failed or overcame its warden. I lit up my shield as we emerged from the tramway and pointed to a service elevator. A familiar pair of hell guns were waiting with Uluxio Centelles. The appearance of a null sister wrecked his night even further, and he backed carefully away. She's shielded. We need to see the Inquisitor right away. Uluxio grimaced.
Silver, who's in there with you?
A taste of our witch. A compelling curse. I pointed to Mercy. That's why she's here. The lift was large enough for us all to grab a corner. We left the bodyguards in Ground Zero in case something came knocking on their minds. We could reach the plant-filled entrance to the Overhive Towers in 2 minutes, but it was a terrible idea from the start. An alien pressure was clouding my mind like the web of a spider. The entity knew it was captured and was working on an escape. I was punching back, pinning it in place while my shield barred anything new from coming to the rescue. Unfortunately, the curse found a back door. I'd been feeding it slowly, keeping the spidery curse occupied and in place, when it decided to take matters into its horde of sickly yellow hands. Ignoring the rush in my mind, it lunged for my soul and my meager flow of incoming warp energy. I thought it an odd trade-off until it knocked on the door to the Immaterium and something on the other side responded. I slammed the emergency stop button on the lift and stammered out an order. Hereticus holding cell. Now. Mercy reached for her collar. No, not yet. I kept my golden eyes on hers, unable to say more. More energy flooded in through the gash in my soul, sparking a free-for-all in my mind. I sought to funnel the inrush away from the golden entity, but it grew more powerful by the second. It lurched against my shields, making room, and the image of Dean Kilhaven flashed in my head. Suddenly the pressure eased, and my mind cleared until the curse lurched again, flashing the same image. A target? A trade? The lift doors opened. Overlooking the city a mile below, a broad skybridge spanned the gap into the Ordo Hereticus Tower. A line of laser guns pointed at us, forming a wall in front of a security officer of Ordo Hereticus. I could feel the icy power circling the man as he signed to Centelles. We were in the right place at the wrong time.
Take him!
Mercy stepped forward to grab my arm, and my world slid out from under me. Instead of the gentle slope between us, she leaned over the abyss while I dangled below her, barely holding on. A golden pool bubbled below, waiting for our link to fail. Tentacles reached up, batting at my feet and showering us both with its warmth. I hated it for the falsehood of the spell's promised reward. Mercy deserved more. I let go. A blackness descended like a cowl, and the world around me grew silent. Only whispers could be heard, and Mercy was nowhere to be seen. I'd landed beside a glowing golden pool and crawled beyond its tentacled reach. The tower and the city were long gone. In the hazy distance, a light wavered, a lantern swaying. I focused on the unreal light until I could put a word to its brilliant cyan color. Whether it approached or I gave chase, I couldn't say. Beneath the lantern's glow, a young woman in a black dress stood before a pair of iron-banded doors, young yet ancient. Timeless. That was the word to describe the light, the woman, and the portal to elsewhere. Who are you? I said.
My name isn't important. Have you gotten hold of your pet?
To call it a pet was a cheeky opening far beyond the abilities of any creature of the warp. Behind me, the golden spider stood upon dozens of shaky legs, like nervous fingers tapping on my soul, and each tap sounded like a name being chanted in prayer. Not at all, I said, but it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. Would you happen to recognize its true owner?
I recognize the work of a black witch beneath the gold.
Somewhere in the distance, the howl of a gigantic beast filled the landscape, and a low vibration rattled the massive door. Something wanted in. Where are we? I said.
We're standing in the veil, and beyond this door is the sea of souls. We're in a pocket sought by the creature behind you. It falters, so it begs for its kin to help.
I pointed behind her. And that door?
That's my way home. Beware all others.
Can I go with you?
No. I'm here to tell you that you must face the grotesquerie that you've wrought. Others are concerned.
Had I wrought it? Not entirely. Others had helped. Friends of hers, no doubt. The woman offered patience and nothing more. She was an agent, not an angel. When you said grotesquerie, were you talking about the warp curse or my existence? She smiled.
First things first.
Would you take a word home with you?
Of course.
Starfire, please share it with the Sister of the Abyss in the Ordo Hereticus Tower.
You would call upon a black angel?
If that is what she is, then yes. She should be waiting for my return.
I find your taste appalling.
With that, the visitor faded through her door, leaving nothing but the rumble of the warp in the distance. Curse yourself and everyone's a critic, I thought. Delia Barmassode had been right all along. The witch's spell had managed to escape my control, dragging me with it to the edge of oblivion. One might complain about the sordid company Delia kept. Commissar Belling certainly fulfilled the definition of a grotesquerie, but I wasn't alone. I had my own monster to face. My talent for stealing and multiplying warp energy had finally crippled the warp spider. I leveraged the entity's ineptitude and extracted its twitching tentacles, throwing them one by one back into the golden pool until only a bootless yellow blob remained. This last, I doused with raw silver energy and consumed before anything else could take note of the morsel. Its recipe had come from another psyker, not the warp, allowing me the meal. The landscape became pitch black with only distant, random rumbles to keep me company while I waited for a black angel to do her thing. Several hands held me still while the cowl was unlocked and lifted from my head. My hands and legs were bound to a padded table in the middle of a detention cell. Mirrored windows high on each wall allowed it to double as an arena and an interrogation room. I felt completely vulnerable and empty, a bowl scoured clean. I called for another round from the bottle known as Starfire, and my personal barrier was back up in an instant, its overlapping silver blades keeping everyone at bay. A muffled argument raged behind one of the windows overhead, and Mersina was nowhere to be seen. My body felt stiff and bruised, but otherwise in good shape. I was hungry and eager for the night to end. I called out, "A little help, please." Uluxio Centelles entered the cell with another psyker. The woman's aura was familiar, a magnetic light blue that matched her eyes, and I couldn't help but stare. "Master Centelles, who's your friend, or our name's not important?"
"You know they are. Do you have any to share with us?"
I frowned. "No, the curse wasn't all that self-aware in its final broken state."
"And where is it now?"
"Gone. Devoured. Where's Mersina? I thought she'd be here."
"She, you don't remember, do you?"
"Obviously not. What did I do?"
"On the sky bridge. You went over the edge, literally. You almost took Sister Mersina with you."
"Is she okay?"
"The sisters are tougher than you might expect. She took things better than Inquisitor Killhaven when he found out. And you had better hope that Delia Barmassett doesn't hear of it. In our haste, we weren't following official procedures. The Ordo should have been notified ahead of time, and you should have been bound on the way in. Inquisitor Killhaven blamed the young woman for not cleansing you immediately upon realizing the threat."
The other psyker waited silently. Her aura and black dress were that of the woman I'd met in the Borderland Abyss. She looked older now, about Centelles' age and perhaps twice mine, with dusky skin made darker by a set of exotic ink-drawn markings. The markings hadn't been there in her astral form. She'd been far younger in appearance, but there was no mistaking her presence now. "I'm Peric Silver. I'm glad to see you made it home." The fact that I was still lying down, pinned to the couch, couldn't deter my interest in the seemingly powerful newcomer. She looked at Centelles and nodded her head.
"Peric, this is Interrogator Morgana Zhao of Ordo Hereticus. She's an associate of Inquisitor Trinneer and one of the most powerful seers on Terra."
I'd never heard her name or that of her boss, but I felt like I knew her. "We've met. She illuminates a door to the Immaterium, waiting to see who will knock." Morgana replied,
"You're not a seer. How could you know any of that?"
She was right. I wasn't. Backed by a telepathic curse, My time on the edge of oblivion had been more insightful than usual. Inquisitor Killhaven entered the cell and signaled Centellez to release me from the elevated couch.
Parrick, I see you've met Morgana, and this is Inquisitor Barclay Trenier. He would like to dissect you.
Trenier frowned at me but kept his hands to himself. He didn't deny Lord Killhaven's remark. Both Inquisitors seemed entirely unhappy with my existence, but for far different reasons. Freed from my restraints, I slipped off the exam table. Hoping to gain the confidence of Morgana Zhao, I held out my hand to the woman. I was about to be judged and hoped that the truth took my side in the affair. Trenier nodded to his protege. Morgana had a strong grip, and her power pulled at me like a dental extractor with a hangover. You know the type. There was nothing subtle about her touch, and it made me long for the ease of June Alicante. Morgana gasped and let go.
Hon, it was the demon Hon calling for you in the Sea of Souls.
Names were arriving too quickly for Sindar Killhaven.
Morgana, Parrick has mentioned an encounter with Lady Hon. I am sure Inquisitor Trenier and I would be most interested in hearing about the witch.
Then he lied to you by omission, Inquisitor. Parrick Silver experienced Lady Horn's ascension and a warp demon's birth.
Nobody moved. The door to the interrogation room locked with a magnetic click. The Hereticus Overwatch protocol was listening in, and it cast its vote before all the others. Lord Killhaven shook in anger at the bill of goods he'd been sold.
Inquisitor Locke will be crucified if he ever comes back here.
One psyker, barely used, only three owners, Feth.
When did it happen?
Said Inquisitor Trenier. I hadn't expected to hear his voice, but rather the bark of a hellgun. 4 months ago, Lady Hon had ascended. We burned down the demon host, but it was too late. The birth of the warp demon had already begun.
How?
Trenier's calm tone fled for sharper climbs.
You're a plebe, barely a sanctionite.
We used cases of cheap liquor mixed with an industrial accelerant and backed by a hellgun or two. It was a keen trap, and we had two squads of Adeptus Astartes on standby from Shadow Legion. I gained some credibility by mentioning the augmented warrior's involvement. The ad hoc trial was going places nobody expected, and we hadn't even reached the topic of the evening. Lord Killhaven got everything into the open.
Parrick claims that a witch is hunting in Skola Sykana. We've only begun to investigate.
Morgana Zhao nodded.
Lord Killhaven, he doesn't claim. As evidence, Parrick Silver harbored a golden curse as a pet. It wasn't his color, not even close, and the results would have been lethal if not for the Sister of the Abyss.
Trenier interjected.
Did the entity leave a mark on him?
The curse, no, but there are others.
And still, Inquisitor Killhaven seeks his release rather than his execution.
Feth it, I said, watching my knight come full circle. Inquisitor Locke was right about Ordo Hereticus.
And what's that supposed to mean?
Killing a demon host is heroic, but finding it is the more difficult task, and surviving its touch is nearly impossible. I lured Lady Hon into the open and, not knowing any better, burned the demon host and its acolytes to the ground. I didn't realize my final reward would be an execution of epic proportions. I was speaking to Ordo Hereticus, and they all knew the truth in my words. With nothing left to lose, I turned my frustration on Inquisitor Trenier. You jumped to the gun, offering me the cold act of mercy where none is asked, while a grotesquerie is on the loose in the prize Skola of the Astra Telepathica. Give me a chance to draw out the Black Witch before you pull the trigger on me. At least Ordo Malleus had done things in the right order and trusted me to get the job done. Trenier chuckled with a coldness few could measure.
And where did Malleus plant the plasma bomb?
Okay, trust was a fickle thing. In the sector above the Underhive, I admitted. But Ordo Malleus knew enough to use it last, not first.
You were in the Underhive?
More lies by omission. Yes, I replied.
Does Lord Killhaven know your background?
He does now. I was also a resident of the Overhive at the time, but I'd gained standing in the pit in order to hunt the Warp Witch. Morgana intercepted Trenier's growing skepticism.
Barclay, he speaks the truth. His remaining marks make him vulnerable, but he's wearing an augmented collar. It's a reasonable risk for us to take in tracking down the rogue.
What happened to tonight's spider?
After Morgana got a good look at it and departed, I tore it apart and ate it.
It was a lethal curse, not a snack.
To some. I tapped my collar. Your bomb's already been planted. Let me find the witch before it gets wise and escapes. The first whiff of a Hereticus witch-hunting crew would surely send our foe into hiding. They knew that better than I. Lord Kilhaven had followed the harsher path in his past and still suffered for it.
Parrick, if we agreed, where would you start?
I glanced at Interrogator Morgana Zhao, taking her tactic as true. I'll resume my career at Skola Sykana. The witch will eventually come to me if I illuminate the right door and wait for it to knock.
How will you know the right door?
I won't, but I plan on lighting up several when I get back.